Hi, I'm Shauna Meyerson with the Yoga of War podcast, here today with pint-sized Zionist powerhouse, Ben Carasso. If you appreciate and find value in these important discussions, please consider supporting the show. Your donations ensure that I can continue to bring you such amazing and esteemed guests. Details are pinned in the comments below. I have been blessed with some truly incredible guests on this podcast, a litany of the most important and influential pro-Israel voices on earth today have graced the show with both their presence and their knowledge. But today, I'm joined with perhaps the wisest, most articulate, and most intelligent of all the commentators. Barely 10 years old, Ben Carasso is the coronated spokeskid of Israel. But perhaps spokeskid is the wrong term. Yes, Ben is a very young man, but he's also an incredibly old soul with a tremendous amount to teach the so-called adults in the room. Ben is more than a spokeskid. He's a spokeshuman with tremendous poise and a sense of morality, kindness, and enlightenment you'll be hard pressed to find in any person of any age. Ben Carasso is the spokeskid of Israel. He's a 10-year-old advocacy activist sharing Israel's story with the world. The grandchild of a Holocaust survivor, Ben was born and raised under the threat of Gaza rocket fire. At age 8, after the October 7th massacre, Ben joined the Hasbara, determined to show the world life through a child's eyes in a war zone. Speaking fluent English, he addresses the emotional toll of rocket attacks, supporting friends with loved ones in the army or held hostage, and living under constant threat. Through social media, lectures, and media interviews, Ben's message of peace has circled the globe many times over. In 2025, he lit Israel's independence torch and received the Resilience Award from the Jewish agency Enkelen Hayesod. Did I say that correctly? Or correctly enough? He's also spoken at the UN and British Parliament, proudly serving as Israel's youngest spokesperson. Ben, thank you so much for joining me. You are such an important soldier in this war of words, and Am Yisrael is so lucky to have you. The whole world is lucky to have you. And Ben, if a kid could be a spirit animal, you're mine.
So, hello, thank you for inviting me. And I'm really glad to be here. So, thank you too for supporting Israel. That's really important for all of us to see here in Israel people who support. So, thank you for that too.
Oh my goodness. And we dressed as twins today. You really are my spirit animal, you know. I got the Hebrew one, you got the English one. So let's get started, Ben. When I have to be honest, like when I watch you speak, it's otherworldly. Like, I know you're only 10 years old, but you talk like you have lived 1,000 lives. Can you tell us a little bit about like your childhood and what you were like when you were little?
Yes, of course. I just want to say something about childhoods in Israel since what can I say? When I was born, since I was born and even before, there's wars, there's military operations every year, rockets every year. So this was a part of my childhood. But still, we're trying, to have fun with our friends, trying to live a normal childhood like anyone else. So that is kind of my childhood war, but still trying to live it through and still be happy.
Do you feel like you, like as a band, have changed a lot since you were before 10/7, or since you were six, or since you were four, or do you feel like you've always been this wise and this articulate and this in tune?
So I believe that anyone can speak even from a young age. I started at 8, you can start before. I don't think that it's about being someone that knows everything. It just speaks of how you feel. And when you speak about what you feel, that is that works.
It's so true. When you talk, it just comes across as
Yeah.
so authentic, so
I
real,
talk
and
about
so
what I feel.
exactly. And feelings are 100% always true.
Yeah.
So before we get into like the meat of the discussion, as we would say in America, I want to ask one more personal question. So you're on the Maccabi Tel Aviv gymnastics team. Do you say Maccabi or Maccabi?
Maccabi.
Maccabi. In America, we say it a little bit differently. But being on a gymnastics team builds both character and courage. Do you feel like your gymnastics training like helped you to be as like mentally and physically strong as you are?
So I believe that sport is something that always helps emotionally, mentally, because you sometimes forget about anything else. Yes, it builds a lot of character, but sadly, even when you think you forgot it, suddenly there's sometimes a siren in the middle of training. So what can you do?
Ben, I'm sorry if I laugh. It's not that it's funny. It's just that your presentation always like takes me aback at just how honest you are. I have a weird question because it's very personal, like in the way that like if I'm practicing my handstands or some hard stuff, I agree with you. It like it changes my mindset, but sometimes even without a siren, I just stop dead in my tracks and I remember the world. Does that ever happen to you? Like there's no siren, you're just going about your normal gymnastics routine and suddenly it all sort of comes back to you.
So when I do my gymnastics a lot, you can forget about what is going on. Sometimes it goes in the middle of when you speak sometimes with your friends in gymnastics. Yes, we speak about it.
Oh my goodness.
So, but sometimes when you do sport, you're focusing on that.
Good. So it provides an escape for you as long as there's not a
Yeah.
siren. So that's really, really valuable. So let's get into the hard stuff. And listen, I have to be honest, Ben, I can't talk like this with most kids. In fact, I can't imagine having this discussion with another child. So I'm going to try very, very hard to like stay sensitive to what you're going through. And if anything ever sounds, bad or that you don't want to respond, that's all you have to say. Like, I'd rather not talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. So
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a sort of hard question. It's not hard. It's hard because I know it's emotional. But could you tell any kids who are listening and may not know, in your eyes, what happened on October 7th, 2023?
So on October 7th, 2023, Hamas broke to Israel, kidnapped and killed Israeli civilians. And since then, we have a war, not only from Gaza, from Hamas, but also from the Houthis, also from Hezbollah, also from Iran. And that is a terror organization.
What is the terror organization? All of them? Iran?
So, like I said, some Hamas is a terror organization that is killing and kidnapped people, and we still have 50 hostages in Gaza that we need to free them now. And that is a terror organization. What they are doing.
Ben, how far are you from Gaza? Do you know?
So I live in Tel Aviv. I went sometimes I did went close to other countries like Syria or Lebanon or maybe Gaza too. So I didn't really was close. I'm not living close to it, but we still suffer from alarms, sirens.
Yes, I'm sure. So what's sad to me, Ben, is that a lot of people, like looking at the war, either don't remember October 7th or they honestly never even knew about it, which is a little weird to me or to you, but in the media they don't really talk about how this all started. There were a lot of kids who got caught up in the very evil things that happened on October 7th. And two who are the most famous, of course, are Ariel and Kfir Bibas. Can you tell us their story?
Yeah, so Ariel and Kfir, who was a 9 months old child, a baby, and Ariel, who was a 4 years old child, were both kidnapped from Israel to Gaza on October 7th from Niraz with their parents, Shiri and Yirden. Ariel. And just like you said, Ariel and Kfir were a baby and a child. Why to kidnap babies and children? That is a terror organization. That's what you asked before. So that is another example. And then Ariel, Kfir, and Shiri were murdered during when they were in Gaza. Yordan was freed back to Israel in the deal. And that is a sad story that you can see that why to kidnap children? There's a lot more. And there's a lot more families that got kidnapped. So to other people that don't know what happened, now if you're listening, do you understand what is going on here right now? Do you understand who's Hamas?
You ask such a good question, Ben. And I know that you've also met with some of the hostages that who have been released. I don't know if you've met with Yarden. And for people who don't know, Yarden is the father, and Shiri is the wife, and Kfir and Ariel are the babies who were murdered. Yarden is home in Israel trying to rebuild his life. Have you met with him or other hostages?
So I'm trying to meet with Yirden. Yes, I met ho a lot of hostages and their families too. Like Emily Damari,
Oh.
and a Gumberger. I met them too, and a lot more. And I met a lot of families, and I speak to them. And what can I say? It's heartbreaking to see, to see and to hear what they're going through.
Do you ever feel like it weighs on you and makes you extra sad when you have to keep hearing these stories? Or do you feel empowered because you bring so much joy and relief to the same people who need that?
I believe that that speaking up and telling the story, we know the story and we're listening because sometimes it helps to other families. And I believe that showing the world what they're going through, it's more important than that.
I agree.
So,
You do a terrific job of showing the world, particularly on your Instagram. And I have a link in the show notes. I hope that everybody will follow you. So Ben, I'm curious about growing up in Israel. What do you learn in school about Gaza and like the Arab-Israeli conflict? And I'm asking, if possible, can you think all the way back to preschool, like the youngest you could remember, kindergarten, all the way to today, and explain, like, what do you learn in school about all this?
So, we don't learn at school about these, but after more than a year and a half before 21 months and a half, we know already what is going on because you can't just say something or just don't say about it anything, because imagine when you're waking up to sirens, what is going on here? And you ask about a preschool before kindergarten. So, since, like I said, since I was born, there were sirens everywhere. But I remember something when I was younger. I remember sometimes that my mother told me we're going camping home, and I knew that there's going to be a war. In the couple of days, it's a couple of days that I'm sleeping in my safe room, not on a bed. And sometimes I remember that I'm going to advocacy tours, and some people ask me, "What is the most fun thing you do in London or in the U.S.?" So I said, "Sleeping in a bed." They're saying, "What?" So telling these is something, like I said, that always that I tell from my heart that what I'm going through, that is what I'm telling.
Yeah, that's amazing. So it's interesting that you don't learn about Gaza in school, because Ben, are you aware what kids in Gaza learn about Israel in their schools?
So, by the way, just I talk with my friends a lot about what is going on right now in school, in the where I talk with my friends in school or everywhere you can say so. And then in Gaza, I believe, and I saw it. I made a video with Ilan Levy, and we saw the books of children in Gaza. It was from Gaza, and we saw what they learned. They learned to throw rocks on the Jewish people, and they learned to kill us. They learned to do bad things. It's all propaganda of Hamas. And yeah, that's what they're learning, sadly.
Are these children's books
Yeah,
that you saw, Ben, or are these like books for teenagers? Like who's the target audience? Do you know?
from that book that was from Gaza, I'm not sure. I believe it was for teenagers, children. That looks like a story maybe for more children. But do you understand what they're learning? This is a book that they're reading for fun. I don't know.
Is
That
it
is
a,
what they're
is
reading.
it like a picture book is what I'm saying? Is it kid
Yeah.
friendly, or is it more
Yeah.
like a manual?
Yeah, it's, as I saw, it's more kid friendly.
Yes.
They're making it like it's a story for children, like it's a regular thing to do. But when you look about what is the book, there's something else.
Have you seen the TV shows that are sort of like their Sesame Street and what they're talking about?
You talk about their television. So I didn't sell their television, but I saw sometimes a little bit, and there's a lot of fake news, of course, not only in their television. There's I remember in the BBC that I'm going a lot to the UK because think about it, what is the news there? There's the BBC, and there's the Sky, so. That's where they get what is going on, and there at the televisions there's a lot of propaganda, and there's a lot of fake news. So I'm going there to explain what is really going on there.
Amazing. What I was actually asking Ben is, have you seen the children's TV shows for the children of Gaza that also tell them
Oh.
about killing Jews, even though they're little kids, like younger than even you? Have you seen these?
I have not seen these.
Okay. Okay,
But
cool.
who knows? Maybe there's fake news about this too, because the point is Hamas is trying to brainwash these children who, like I'm saying always, that we're children together. We want peace. We want to play with each other, and I hope someday that will be true.
Do you have friends who aren't Jewish?
Pardon?
Do you have friends who aren't Jewish? I mean, you and your friends talk about peace. Is like who all does that?
So yes, I have a lot of friends who are Druze, who are Arab, who are Muslim. And I have another story. I remember I went on a advocacy tour to Albania, even before October 7th. I did too. So I met a child there and we became friends. And when I came to Israel after that advocacy tour and when October 7th started, do you know who's the first call I got from when October 7th started?
I can guess your friend who's
Yes.
Muslim in Albania.
So that is what I'm talking. We can be friends if we're Jewish, if we're Arab, if we're Christian. And I have a lot of Christian friends that I met in the UK, in the US. That's what I'm saying, that we can have peace. But if we're only focusing about finding the differences between us and the hate, we won't find peace. So let's focus about finding peace.
Ben, you're amazing. Do you think that most Israeli kids feel the same way you do?
I think so, because why not? Like I said, we're children. We want to play with each other. We want to have fun. We want to suffer from alarms and sirens because we know that the children of Gaza are suffering too from this war. So, because imagine that under your bed, there's rockets, there are guns. Under your school, there's tunnels, and maybe there's a hostage there. Who knows? Under school, like I said, under bed, maybe there's a hostage too, who knows? Everywhere there's tunnels. So think about this.
Ben, what you learn and in the values you have from your parents, from your family, is very different from what the children in Gaza are learning. Do you think they see the world the same way you do? Do you think their vision of the world, I know it's your hope, but do you think, given what they are taught, that their vision of a world of peace is the same as yours?
Sadly, I believe not, because like I said, Hamas is not teaching them about peace. They're teaching them about hate and killing. But I see a lot of videos on the news, not only from Gaza, but from Syria and Lebanon, that you see Israeli soldiers going there and they're meeting people. And they're talking to children. And the children are saying that we love you, thank you. And I saw a couple of videos about one. I remember that an Israeli soldier is giving food and water to children in Gaza. And I saw another video about that a soldier, I'm not sure where, always shared his food with another child there. And the child said, "You're my friend. I love you." Something like that. So this is what we're supposed to have in the world, peace and friendship.
Absolutely. So, Ben, if you could send any message to the children of Gaza, what would it be?
So, we want to be friends with you. We would love it because, we're children. But this is not our fault. It's Hamas. So we're just trying to defend ourselves. So I hope one day that will be true, that will become true, that we can play together, we'll be friends because we love children. We love each other.
I
And
think the more, oh, sorry, go on.
That is kind of my message, but I just want to say another thing. I remember that a lot of pro-Palestinians comment on my videos, "Why are you not talking about the children of Gaza?" So I made a video about that, and I said these, but the one thing that they said that after that they told to Instagram about that it was not good for people to see it. The only thing I said that was a peace message and a love message. The only thing they said that it's not Hamas, it's not Israel, it's Hamas. So that is the only thing I said that is maybe it's that they thought it was cruel. So Instagram deleted my video.
Wow. It's a little ironic, kiddo, because they're not talking about Kfir and Ariel and the other children who were kidnapped or God forbid, killed on 10/7 or any of that. So I give you a lot of credit. It's obvious where your heart is and just in general, how do you feel about war?
I don't like war. I don't think we should have a war. I think that the world can be a better place without war. I know sometimes there's people who don't accept it, so we're going to war to make them understand that we need peace. Or because, like I'm saying, the people of Gaza are not the problem here in the world. Hamas is. Another problem in the war, because they're not doing nothing. They love us. A lot of them, like I see in our news. So that is not the problem. Hamas is. So, like, there's a lot of terrorists in Lebanon, there was in Syria, there's in Iran, there's the Houthis. Now, we're trying to make peace in Syria. I hope there will be peace everywhere. I remember from 1948 that I read about the history that we already made a peace with Jordan and Egypt. So let's hope for more like this.
I agree. I agree that there are two ways, honestly, to come through peace when we look at history, and one is through war and one is through agreements, right? And so as the Abraham Accords start to surround Israel, then
I
if
hope so.
peace comes from outside, we'll get peace on the inside.
Hope so.
I hope so too. So Ben, I think you might find this surprising, but a lot of adults don't understand why war is sometimes necessary to achieve peace. Do you think you could explain that hard concept to them?
So, That is, I think it's half true, half not. Because, like I said, war, going to war always, it's not so good because people are killed from both sides. That because when you start a war, even if you go to war and even if you got attacked, both sides don't only win. You're losing some soldiers or a lot or civilians. So, no one is winning at war, but when there's peace, it's a lot better. But like I said, there's some people that don't accept it, so we have to go to war.
Do you think it would have made more sense after October 7th for Israel not to go to war?
Just want to make things clear here. Israel was forced to go to war because Hamas kidnapped and killed its Israeli civilians. So we were forced to go to war. We don't want to go to war. Of course we don't. We just want peace. But they attacked us. We have nothing to do. We just have to fight back because we have to free because we had to free the hostages. There were 251 hostages. Who was kidnapped on October 7th, and then now there's still 50 that we have to free them.
Absolutely, but that's the point, is that
Yeah.
sometimes war is necessary, even if you don't
Sadly.
want it.
Sadly. Yes.
Yeah.
But now I think that we should bring all of them home now and finish this war.
I wish it were that simple, and I'm with you. I don't want to see half of the hostages come home. I want to see every single hostage home, including the
Yeah.
ones who were killed also, because they need to be buried, right? Like, and be
Right.
respected
Yeah.
that way.
Yeah, I think that ending the war, it's just, I think, ending something that's because the hostages are suffering, there's a lot of people that are suffering from this war. So, I think we just want some quiet in this world. Maybe some peace.
I'm with you. Amen.
Amen.
So in America, right? Like, it's voluntary, 100% voluntary if you want to serve in the military, but that's not how it works in Israel. Now some people don't have to actually be in a war, right? It's a matter of timing, but everybody serves, and there's always the chance. There's always the chance of even something terrible like what's happening now, and there's also the chance of peacetime, and that luckily, certain people do not have to see any of the bad parts of war. I'm just curious, like, growing up in Israel and knowing, like, one day you will be serving in the IDF, like, how does that make you feel?
So I remember my grandfather told to my mother something like this, that he told her that he hopes that one day when she will grow up, that we won't need military because there will be peace, hopefully. So now my mother is saying the same thing to me. But you know, there's always some hate, sadly, in this world.
Does it scare you to think of being in the IDF one day? Does it make you proud?
I think I'm very proud of the IDF. I am thanking to all the amazing soldiers. And I'm proud of the IDF. I can say being there and being in this country is something that you are proud of. I remember my grandfather was serving in the army. and then my parents too. So I can say I'm not scared of things that, but let's hope there will be peace.
Let's hope there will be peace forever. Let's hope that the goal of
That's
Israel is
helpful.
that this is the last war. And it's sort of like ripping off a bandage, right? I don't know if you've ever done that. And it just feels really bad when you take it off, but then it's off. And I think that one by one, Israel is trying to quiet each area and find places where they could have peace with maybe Syria or Lebanon. Like, it's crazy that they're even talking about that now. But maybe this will be the last war.
Hopefully, hopefully.
So, you talked about this briefly before, Ben, but I want you to maybe go just a little bit more into, you've lived through quite a few wars and conflicts in your 10 years on Earth. Could you, for if there's a kid who's listening, maybe from like America or Europe, could you like tell them like what is a normal childhood like in Israel?
So, not you can say like a normal childhood in Israel is half of like in other countries because we're trying to have a normal childhood, but you can't know if there's a war sometimes or not. So sadly, this is becoming my childhood right now. It's I celebrated two birthdays. Since the start of October 7th, it started when I was 8, now I'm 10. And that is part of my childhood, being in war. But we're trying to make the best of living a normal childhood. It's different from the lives and childhood of children in Europe. Or in America, it is different.
Do you feel like kids in Israel today are like sort of more serious or feel more sad or like a lot of the trauma that adults are feeling? Or when you go to school, can you play and have fun and not talk about the war sometimes?
Yes. It has happened. Sometimes we still have fun because you can't always be sad. We're trying to make the best of it. But sometimes it just goes to our mind and we start to talk about it.
I'm sure. And I'm sure that also helps a lot to have like all these friends who have the same shared experience.
Yeah.
Has it been scary being a kid in Israel for the last 21 and a half months? Like, because so you go in your bomb shelter, do you feel safe? Do you feel scared? Do you like what's it like? Is it scary going to the bomb shelter and then you feel safe? Or like, I can't even imagine what you're going through.
So, when I go to a bomb shelter, you don't know where it will hit. Maybe it will hit. Maybe the IDF will bomb the rocket. Maybe it will land. Maybe the pieces of the rocket would land in a house. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your friend's house, maybe it's your family member's house. And like there was the Iranian attack something like a month ago, months. There was rockets hitting buildings. And I remember that I was in the safe room I slept there for all the time, and I remember going to the safe room sometimes and feeling the house is shaking and hearing the booms. It's scary because you don't know Where would it hit? Maybe next to your house? Maybe on your house? Sadly. Who knows?
I can't even imagine. I want to switch gears just a little bit. You have a grandfather who is a Holocaust survivor. I know you know your mom told me that you never met him because he passed before you were born.
Yes.
But he was just a little older than you are now when World War II ended. What do you know about his story?
So I heard about his story. He has a kind of really sad story. He was 13 on his bar mitzvah day when he was kidnapped to Auschwitz. He saw his parents getting kidnapped to Auschwitz too. He was the only one who survived the Holocaust from his mother, father, sister, and brother. And he saw his parents getting killed. He saw people getting killed. And on age 16 alone, he came to Israel and trying to build a country. Like I said, he served in the IDF. Just trying to make the best.
That's amazing. And your mom actually already also told me that you have a great grandfather who was one of the founders of the
Yes.
city of Tel Aviv. That's quite a legacy you
Yeah.
got there, kiddo.
Yeah. So, my great grandfather made Aliyah more than 100 years ago to Israel. And he was one of the founders of, like you said, the city of Tel Aviv. He built houses, schools, and even a cinema.
Wow, that's amazing. Is the cinema still there? Can you visit it and see it?
The cinema, I'm not sure, but I remember I did a video about him, and I showed his identity cards from 1924 when he made Aliyah. He got the identity card from the British colony, and it's not from the British colony in the Palestine. The What is Palestine? It's written Palestine Eretz Israel, Palestine. But the name Palestine we got from the British Empire. So that's where we got it, but I just want to say that we were here thousands of years ago in Israel. And
Yeah.
I showed his identity card from 1948 when everyone who stayed in the state of Israel after the War of Independence got an Israeli identity card from the British colony, from the state of Israel.
There's a very famous video, I don't know if you've seen it, of Golda Meir, who says, I'm a Palestinian. I mean, she has a Palestinian passport. Back then,
Yeah.
Palestinian. When you said Palestinian, people understood what you actually meant were the Jews that lived in that
Yeah.
land. This is a word that Arabs only started using in the 60s or 70s, and it's not at all what people claim that it is or
Correct.
was.
So where did I wanted to say where I did a video. I did it next to on the front door of his house more than 100 years ago. It's still there.
Wow.
And that was a video that got really well. It was more than 200,000 of views or more.
You're making a real impact in the world, Ben. I mean, it's truly amazing. I mean, people really want to hear what you have to say. And it's not just because you're a kid, it's not just because you're Israeli, but it's because you are the spokes kid. You are so good at what you do, which is just putting things
You.
in very simple and understandable terms for everybody. I want to ask a couple more questions about the Holocaust because, of course, a lot of people are like talking about the Holocaust and 10/7 and how like sort of they tie together. Here in America, there's a lot of what we would call sensitivity issues. I don't know if you know what that means, but people want to be very sensitive about when you like would tell a Jewish child about the Holocaust because you don't want to traumatize them. In Israel, my guess is that it's not about trauma, it's about shared history. And I mean, I could tell you as an old person, I don't remember ever not knowing about the Holocaust. I mean, when I was very, very young, I already knew about it. Things have changed a lot. But do you remember like the first time you heard about the Holocaust in your grandfather's story? Or do you feel like you always knew, like it's always just been there?
I learned from it from a young age. I went to my mother's lectures about the Holocaust, and I remember her story about hearing the first time about the Holocaust because she was hearing that from a man who survived the Holocaust, who felt it. So, like you said, sensitivity. Her father didn't talk about the Holocaust. But the first time she heard about it, it's actually interesting that she heard about it the first time, because there's a job, there's a homework in Israel that you need to know about your family. And so that is when he explained the first time to her. She was in a sixth grade.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty old. Yeah.
So it's different because, I mean, it's for him too. It's a trauma that can never leave you.
It was very hard for a lot of Holocaust survivors to talk. I know a lot of people who never said anything even till the day that they died because it was just too hard. Do you
I
think
met
that,
a Holocaust survivor.
excuse me?
I met Holocaust survivors.
I'm sure you haven't. And what has been that experience?
And I talked with them. I think they're, I can't say it's easy for them. There's the numbers on their hand. And but I see them trying to live the best because, you know, we have a country, we have the IDF. So yes, I see them smiling. And I guess they're seeing the future too, what was in Israel before and what is now. So, but I guess it's hard for them too, because you think of it, they experienced so much wars that how they're living more wars, it's amazing too. When I think of it, meeting a lot of people, maybe Holocaust survivor, hostages, it's amazing. They're amazing people. Not, of course, they experienced horrible things, but how they're standing to it, that is amazing.
I'll tell you something else that's amazing because Israel is, and I would claim the Jewish people are the most resilient nation probably on earth. A lot of people get sort of feel down or by or oppressed or victims, but whenever somebody like attacks the Jews, we come back stronger. But let me just make a quick note, Ben, that in a whole nation of the most resilient people on earth, you're the one who won the Resilience Award. So congratulations on
Thank
that.
you.
You are truly like a symbol of the entire nation. It's really quite remarkable.
Thank you.
So, do you think that having a grandparent, your grandfather,
Yeah.
who survived the Holocaust, do you feel like that affected you or played a part in how deeply the events of October 7th hit you?
So, when October 7th started, when I heard about it, I was like, what? But I will tell you something. I thought it would be okay because I remember all the time that the wars and the military operations were a couple of days or maybe a week too. And I remember I waited a week too. A month, and now 21 months, 21 months and a half, still going. So I remember that I asked professors about if there was another war that there were babies and children kidnapped, and they said no, only in the Holocaust. Like my grandfather, who was a teenager, who was kidnapped on his bar mitzvah day.
That is so just so overwhelming, and I can't imagine like watching, living how history repeats itself. What was it ultimately, Ben, that inspired you to like take on the challenge of joining the Hasbara? For anybody who doesn't know, Hasbara is like in public relations, like being a spokesman.
So, from October 7th, everyone got hurt, especially children, and we didn't have a voice. So, I thought we needed a voice, and I had good English, so I went to speak out. I spoke a little bit before, but it got me that harder, and I felt I had to be the spokes kid. And that's how we started it. But how did it came personal to me? I remember that I was at the funeral of my friend's father, Hanani Vlonka, was kidnapped from the Nova to Gaza and was murdered in Gaza. So I was at his funeral and I saw my friend in a way I never saw him. I met him from kindergarten, from when we were little, very little. From that moment, I felt I will have to speak out, not only for Israel, but for my friend who lost his father. And I have friends that they were evacuated from their homes, that their family members got hurt in the war, or were killed, or were kidnapped and returned. Like I have a friend that her cousin is Rami Gonen, and I spoke to her and an important thing that she said to me, I remember that she's afraid that Hamas will kidnap her too. By the way, she lives in Tel Aviv, not
Oh,
even
wow.
close to Gaza. So, do you understand what is going on here?
Every child is living with his or her own like fears and traumas right now. Not
Sadly,
everyone is as resilient as you are.
you always know someone that his family members or him got hurt or something like that, or someone who knows someone who somewhere in Israel, someone who happened, something happened to him, sadly.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Again, like the closest thing we've had to anything like that in America, and it's nothing like it because it was so impersonal, meaning it wasn't one-on-one, it was people on planes, but is 9/11. But America is so big. I mean, very, 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 very few of us know anybody who was personally either on the plane or a family of anyone on the plane, but Israel is so small. Like as you're explaining, everybody knows somebody. I know people in Israel, and but I didn't know anybody in 9/11. So it's really quite remarkable, and I don't think everybody understands just how personal everything is, including kids, that you should have to know or be subjected to knowing the things that have happened is really, really painful.
Yeah, I agree.
But what's been the most rewarding part of being a spokes kid?
So I think meeting amazing people that support Israel, like you.
I paid him to say that. Just joking.
A lot of others, meeting children who support Israel. Meeting people who understand me, that is the rewarding part, the best thing about being a spokes kid. So yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely a people person, so that makes sense. What's been the most challenging part of being a spokes kid? The spokes kid.
So, I believe that the challenging part is sometimes sharing things, and but there's not, it's not that hard because that's what you feel you're going, and you know that's important, so that is what is important there. So I'm going through it anyway.
You've got some superhuman strength in that character there. You need like a Superman with a shin on it for, or a sin, I should say, for Super Ben. But Ben, boy, you were 8 years old on October 7th, and now you're like 25% older. Do you feel like you've grown up a lot since all this started?
Of course, we're always growing up, and you we now we feel something else. It's not a lesson that people should learn, but we should always we should learn something from it, and knowing that we're strong and we're brave, and together we win this.
Hey Ben, I have a very easy yes or no question. You'll be very happy to have an easy question. Are you a Zionist?
Yes, of course.
Yes. Okay. What's a Zionist?
So I believe a Zionist is first of all knows that Israel should exist, that that is our country, and we should live. And Zionist is support. I feel sometimes it's, I'm not saying it's only to be a Zionist, but you're supporting peace. You support not to go to war. And I believe it's not only for Zionists, but I believe that we feel it a lot because we went through a lot of wars. So, but that is not a point about being a Zionist. I believe a lot of people can be Zionist because to know this history, not only the history of Israel, but knowing history, knowing is sometimes knowing the truth.
Do Zionists prefer war or do Zionists prefer peace?
I certainly prefer peace. I don't think, except terrorists, anyone else wants only to go to war because why? People are getting killed. Things are getting bombed. Why?
I
So
agree.
peace is so much better.
Yeah, but Ben, there's so many people in the world who call
Yeah.
themselves like anti-Zionists. Like why shouldn't people hate Zionists?
Why you would hate people that the only thing that they want to do is to live in their land in peace? Why should you hate us? If you would look back in history and see the truth without all the fake news, then you will see why you shouldn't hate us, because we were first forced to go to war. And it's not our fault what is going on here. We're just trying to defend ourselves.
Well put, kiddo. So Ben, there's like a lot of like really mean, like anti-Zionist or anti-Semitic people on the internet. I've seen them writing on your wall, which is just absolutely cruel and horrible because you're a child. They write on my wall every single day, like the meanest things anybody could possibly like say in the world. But like Ben, how do you deal with these mean people? And like, what's your advice for other people who are too scared to speak up, particularly on social media?
So, first of all, my advice to people, you don't have to talk on social media. You don't have to. Anyway, I'm going to a lot of schools and I'm telling them you can do social media, or there's a lot more things. You can comment to pro-Palestinians. You can raise money for soldiers or to people who lost their homes. You can talk about it with your family and friends or close people to you. No, you don't have to speak on social media. And the advice how to deal with bad comments. So I think of it in that way. If they're commenting on my video, it means it was a good video because they're mad that I'm telling the truth about what is going on.
Oh my goodness, Ben, you have so much to teach the adults in the world. It's really remarkable. So you see these bad comments and it doesn't hurt your feelings or anything like that?
I can't say I'm happy about it. I don't want I can't say I'm not I want it, but it doesn't affect me because what do they know?
That's true. You know what they know? They know hate, and that's not a language
Yeah.
that you speak. So it's like if I were to start talking to you in like Chinese, like it wouldn't mean anything because that's not your language. You speak the language of peace, and they're speaking the language of like meanness or evil.
Yeah, or hate, or fake news. Yes, correct.
Wow. So, but Ben, have you had like any tough conversations with, say, other kids around the world who are anti-Israel or call themselves anti-Zionist or God, even anti-Semitic? Have you like had any of these real conversations where you sort of listen to each other?
I haven't heard k children. I went to a pro-Palestinian, I went to, there was pro-Palestinians next to the British,
Right.
next to the British Parliament. There was a lot of pro-Palestinians there, and I went to one of them, and I speak with her. And she is, by the way, 68. She said, She said there are a lot of things that I'm only a child, so I don't know anything. That she said horrible things, and seeing that it doesn't matter your age, you just need to know the facts. And when I showed her the facts, she just went away.
Yeah, people don't like facts very much anymore, Ben, but I see that you're like a real student of history. That's really quite remarkable. Most kids don't really care to go like back even like a day or a minute, but you're really like educating yourself and you're educating the world. And sometimes they'll listen and sometimes they won't, but you're doing the hard work. So let me ask you another question, because it just made so many headlines. If you ask most people in the world about like kid activists, the first one who will usually come to mind is Greta Thunberg. Of course, like she's no longer a child, and she was already 16 when she gave her famous speech at the United Nations. I'm just curious, like before October 7th, did you know who she was? Did you even look up to her as any sort of a role model?
I did not look to her as a role model. I'm going on my own. I did hear about her, but she's not my role model. And after October 7th, I don't know what happened. Some people just, I don't know, don't believe the facts or the truth and just go with the lies and hate.
Even beyond facts and truth, which is definitely something we've talked about now a whole bunch of times, like Greta like calls herself like a climate activist, right? Like why do you think somebody who's a climate activist would suddenly become so anti-Israel and so anti-Semitic? Like do you see like it, why would that change? Like, why would she go from like the environment to anti-Israel?
I'll tell you something. There's some people that just go with it. I'll tell you something. There's a lot of things that when you see there's a lot of people doing it, so you're doing it too, just to be there. I don't know what happened there,
It seems
but
like it was
I.
probably some sort of publicity stunt.
But that is a horrible thing, and I remember her boat. There's the boat thing that she went to go to Gaza to try to bring food to them, and I remember I did a video about it that got to more than 1 million views. That you know that you're a child, you know the children always say the truth, and we hope that you will wake up and you will see that the story behind the video. And if you'll see the video, you'll see that we're really on a ship.
Yes.
We were trying to look from them, not only on meeting them, but there's an international line of boats there, so we tried to call her. She didn't answer, so we did a video, the children of Israel, me with a couple of my friends who agreed that didn't like what is going on with that. Why are you doing this? So we did a video together. It blew up,
It was a
and
terrific video.
I remember that now they answered. But someone answered, I'm not sure, in the comments, I'm not sure if he was on the boat or not. I'm not sure, but of course there's a lot of pro-Palestinian comments there, too, on every single one of my videos. But yeah.
And you never think about deleting those comments? Because you're sort of giving a platform, because it hurts my heart to see people saying mean things when you're a kid who's just trying to tell the world your truth.
I don't care what they're saying. You can say they can say as much as they want. You can say it doesn't change anything. But I see people answering them sometimes, and the good thing that I see in my comments, there's so much good comments than the bad ones. That makes me feel better.
Amazing, amazing. So Ben, like you, we're gonna wind down, but I just want to say, like, because you seem to know everything about Israel. Maybe not everything, but it sure seems that way. I'm going back to Greta and in her pivot. Like, are you familiar with like Israel's like climate and environmental record?
So, I know, and my family were trying to recycle, as we're trying to make the earth a better place, not only from peace, but in an environment. I can tell that when buildings are bombed and there's rockets fired to Israel, you can say that's a good thing. It's not good.
Yeah.
But as we know here in Israel, we're trying.
But Israel, for example, is probably the world leader in water tech, for example. You guys have net positive water and even export water, even though you've been in a state of drought for like 100 years and in Israel is a desert. You have extraordinary agricultural tech. And just the environmental awareness there is very extraordinary. Do you know anything about the environmental record? Because she cares, Greta cares so much about the environment in Gaza.
So the environment in Gaza, I believe there's not a good environment because imagine there's tunnels everywhere, rockets everywhere, guns everywhere. So how can they be a good environment there? I
And
believe not only with all the tunnels and the places bombed by, I don't know, Hamas, because right on their hospital, there's a rocket. So, and they're blaming this at us, that at us, that they're trying to bomb Israel from a tunnel under hospital. That is the problem too. I don't understand why people are just sitting and saying, yeah, that's Israel's fault. How can this be our fault? How?
I have to agree. And like Greta tries to be such an informed person of the world. And clearly she's missing out on a lot of points. So I'm just curious, Ben, if you could, what message would you like to send to Greta Thunberg today? And what do you think she fails to understand?
So she fails to understand, and that happens to a lot, the truth here. And maybe they just don't want. They know the truth, and they don't want to listen to this. And my message is to her that children always say the truth, and you know that. So we hope that you wake up and understand that you're on the wrong side of history.
Absolutely. Ben, why do you think there's so much anti-Semitism in the world right now?
Because there's a lot of people focusing on the, like I said, on the hate and the differences between us. So there's anti-Semitism, and sadly, as we see now, there will always be. But hopefully someday there won't be any more anti-Semitism.
I'm going to ask the question a little bit differently, and this is going to be hard. So, you talk about that they see the differences, but there's differences with everybody, right? Like, so there's a difference between an Asian person and a black person, or a Christian and a Muslim. Like, why anti-Semitism? Why do you think the world is so obsessed with the Jewish people in a negative way right now?
I'll tell you something. So before October 7th, Hamas made a lot of fake news. So when October 7th started, a lot of the world was on Hamas side. So There was always anti-Semitism from to the Jews. You can look from the Bible, from the Tanakh. Thousands of years ago, there was always something against Jews. Because we're little. Sometimes when there's a little group, there's so much hate because we're little than them, so why don't you hate us? So they just want to like take over. Because you know, all the terrorists just want to conquer Israel. And so that we won't live and there won't be an Israel.
You make a really good point about the words, though, that they did that. You're so smart, Ben. That they did start this propaganda war way before October 7th, and it
Correct.
was always a piece of the war. And that's what makes you a soldier in this war, because you're fighting the same war. You're fighting the war of words.
That's what I'm always saying. There's fighting in Gaza and Lebanon and Syria. There's fighting with words. That is another thing. Not as important. Sometimes it's not as important. But maybe it is, but it's important, you can say.
So
Very.
when you see all the anti-Semitism in the world, how does that make you feel as a young Jewish boy?
I'm a little sad. I can see when I'm seeing all the anti-Semitism, I'm like, why? Why? You can make a world a better place just if you won't hate.
Yeah.
But I know that we have a lot of work to do to make that be a thing.
Yeah. Well, I think that when people look at you, it is going to help them to step back and say, this beautiful child who really cares about peace, represents the Jewish people and represents us in the best possible way. So I'm going to ask you just one last question, Ben. And thank you for being so generous with your time. I feel like we've taken half of your life. so the last question is, what does Am Yisrael Chai mean to you?
So, Am Yisrael Chai is a. It's not only a slogan. Thousands of years ago, we lived from thousands of years ago, like I said, and we live until now, and we will continue to live. That is what it means. Am Yisrael Chai. We live. We, the Jewish people.
That is what it means, and we're very, very blessed that you, Ben, represent our future. So I just want to thank you again for joining me today. It's
Thank
been such
you.
a gift, and Am Yisrael Chai.
I'm Israel Chai.